Welcome to Shelf Logic, the official podcast of the Maricopa County Library District.
Hello, thank you for joining our Shelf Logic podcast. My name is Tasha, and today I'm going to be going over different board games and recommending some things. I personally have fallen deep into the board game hobby ever since the pandemic. I have discovered that there are so many board games. So today I'm going to kind of go over some classic titles, and then maybe something that's kind of similar to that, that you can try out, a next step kind of a game. If you haven't noticed recently, there's been a lot more choices in the board game aisles at like Targets and Walmarts, and even Barnes & Noble has a huge board game section now. So I want to help give you the tools to kind of maneuver through all of those different choices. What do they mean? What are some of the words they use on the box, and how do they work? And so today we'll do this by kind of talking about some of those classic games that most people are familiar with, and then what are kind of similar things? What about that game do you like, and how can that help you maybe find a new title? Whenever I tell people that I really like board games, they always go, yeah, I like Monopoly. So let's start with Monopoly. There are a lot of different features in Monopoly that could be the thing you like, but we're going to start with set collection. So if what you like about Monopoly is trying to collect your Monopoly, trying to get a set, you might enjoy other games that are about gathering similar items to get points to win. A lot of these games are really fun and work really well and don't take as long as Monopoly, so you can get them to the table more often and have fun playing them. Two that I recommend, the first will be Ticket to Ride, which is trains. It's very fun. You gotta collect your train cars to make the routes to go across America or to wherever your destinations are. There are a lot of different versions of Ticket to Ride, and all they're really changing out is the different maps. So if you would prefer Ticket to Ride Europe, you'd be building trains across Europe versus America versus what other location you kind of pick. The other that I would recommend is Azul, where you collect tiles of certain colors in order to score points. The pieces are chunky. They kind of remind me of Starburst. They are really nicely made. But besides just the quality of the components, the game itself plays really smoothly, is really fun, and is like a little puzzle as you're trying to collect the different tiles. It plays in about 30 minutes, and both of these games are for about ages 8 and up. And including adults, everybody would have fun playing these different set collection games. Now, if one of your favorite games that you get to the table is Jenga, these are really fun games to play with kids because a lot of times they're better at the dexterity games than us, so they can genuinely win and beat their adults while playing these games. Dexterity games are great family games. These games are about physically doing something, whether that be removing a block in a tower or something more. Some other games that I would recommend in this dexterity genre beyond Jenga are Rhino Hero. Rhino Hero works pretty similar to Jenga, where you're building a tower. However, it's all out of cardboard, so when it collapses, it does not make as much of a noise, and it isn't as scary as the wood of Jenga falling. Another that I like is called Ice Cool. It's a flicking game where you have these little penguins and you gotta flick them around. The box becomes a school. You gotta flick them around the school to try to collect fish without being caught by the hall monitor. And you all take turns playing as the hall monitor and then the penguins trying to steal some fish. Both of these are really fun family games, and dexterity as a whole is a great genre of games to play with your kids. Another game that's quite popular is Yahtzee. This is a dice game, and there's a lot of fun that you can have in rolling those dice. Dice rolling can be a main feature of a game, just like it is in Yahtzee, where your roll decides how well you fare in the game. King of Tokyo is a really fun game that plays a lot like Yahtzee, except you play as big, giant monsters. Think the Godzillas, the King Kongs, and you take turns, and depending on how well you roll, you may damage or earn points. Either the last one standing wins or the first to 20 points wins, and it's a really fun, chaotic dice game. There are others that are roll and writes, so you might roll the dice and then pick on your sheet where you put that number, just like you do in Yahtzee, where you pick whether you're going to put it in your twos or if you're going to use it for your straight. And a lot of these roll and writes are really fun and interesting in the different choices and the themes that they can have. A popular one that I really like that's really fast to play and really fun is called Quicks. But there's a whole bunch of games in this genre. So if you really like dice games, go have some fun. Go check some out. Go There's both rolling rights and there's flipping rights that maybe don't have the dice, but if you're really liking the different mechanic of scoring and keeping track of where you put your things to earn bigger points, that kind of Yahtzee side of the component, these kinds of games will be fun for you. If you like trading card games, so Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, and things like that, but it's getting expensive to keep up because the sets are always changing, you might enjoy deck building games. These are games that come as a set, and then you make your deck as you play the game to fight against each other. One of my personal favorites is Star Realms. It's a very simple two-player card game, plays about 20 minutes, but there's a lot of fun in it. There's four different factions, and you got to like collect cards either in the red color or the yellow color. And then those different colors have different skill sets that can be used to help you win the game. Another one that's a little bit bigger would be Clank. There's both Clank in space, there's Clanks in like Mummy, but the idea of the Clank games is you are an explorer and you're going into some sort of dungeon to get treasures, and then you have to get out in time before whatever monster gets you. You build your deck as you are exploring, and the deck will either make you, depending on what you choose to specialize in, the deck can make you really good at fighting monsters, really speedy, or just some fun extra powers. So these are really fun games that take like building a deck and take a card game and kind of bring it to that next step where it's living during the gameplay. Highly recommend deck building as a mechanic, and even these games that are just purely deck building like Star Realms. They're a lot of fun. One of your favorite games was Risk, or is Risk. You probably like area control. Games where you're fighting over real estate and that real estate is valuable. This may be a little silly of a comparison, but games like Risk and Scrabble use this mechanic where players compete over valuable spaces and dominance over the map for victory points to be able to win. There's a whole bunch of fun games in this category, and I recommend checking them out. The first one that I would recommend for area control is Root. So this is a game that's about forest creatures. It's a four players, and each player plays as a different faction in the forest, whether that's the cats or the resistance or just a vagabond kind of running around. And each of these different groups have a different goal. If you liked playing Risk, but maybe like the people you played with, you know, you made alliances and they got hurt or they were excluded, Root is fun because it does that same area control, but because you all have different goals, you don't feel as much as like you're being mean to one player. Everybody is fighting for that space, but they're fighting for that space in different ways. So it makes the area control a lot more fun, in my opinion, and it increases that gameplay and replayability. Because if you liked it, then maybe you want to try a different team and see what you can do next time as you really learn how all of these different teams work against each other or for each other and can help each other too. There are also games like Smash Up, which are card games, and they're about area majority, so who can have the most pieces in an area wins that area. And this one's a really fun card game because you'll take two factions, like you'll be aliens and unicorns, and then smash them together, and that'll be your deck for that round of the game. So you can have some really fun, silly combos of ninjas and dinosaurs. So if you like card games and or area control, Smash Up is a fun alternative that kind of mixes those two things. If one of your favorite games is Battleship and you like trying to figure out where the other player hid their piece, where is their ships? There's a lot of other games that use this deduction, this thinking through, trying to find where people are, as well as like hidden movement. So imagine if you're playing somebody against Battleship, but they could move their battleship every turn. And so you had to figure out where they were moving their ship to. There are a lot of fun games where you don't see both sides and you have to figure out what the other player is doing. These hidden movement genres, for example, a really popular one is Whitehall Mystery. It's where it's three versus one, and one of you plays as Jack the Ripper, hiding body parts around town, and the other three are detectives trying to catch Jack. So you have to work together to figure out where your opponent is moving to, trying to find them to be able to make that arrest. It's a really fun, well-balanced game between these two teams. There are also deduction games where you have to figure out who amongst the group is maybe lying. Social deduction games, where you're trying to figure out somebody has a different role in the group. These are games kind of like Werewolf or Mafia that you might have played in big groups, but there's board games now that also build on those mechanics. Things like Chameleon, Word in the Middle. Most of you know the word, but one of you doesn't know the word, so you have to figure out who doesn't know the word, who's trying to blend in. Or games like Snakes, which is a social deduction game based on trivia, where some of you know the trivia answer, are given the trivia answer, and some of you don't know, and you have to figure out who was given that information. If you like games that push your luck, if you kind of like poker, some gambling games, and you like betting, there are some fun games that use push your luck as the main mechanic. One of my favorites is called The Quacks of Quedlinburg. And it's a game where you are building a bag of ingredients and you are like a witch and you're making a potion and you draw an ingredient out of the bag and it gives you points or it moves things along. Your potion has different quality. However, there are some tokens in your bag that aren't good quality and they will blow up your potion if you get too many of them. So you have to balance, do I draw again? Do I make my potion better? Or if I draw again, will I be blowing up? So you got to pick when to stop, when to go, and it's a lot of fun, a lot of variability in it, and there's a lot of different ways to play games that like push your luck and make you decide to keep playing or not. Now, if you like D&D and role-playing and storytelling, there are some board games that I think you might really enjoy. For example, there are some games where you play characters over time where you're trying to solve like mysteries. A really fun one is Mansions of Madness, which is a game that basically has a computer or a tablet be your DM. It's Cthulhu-based, and it has these big mysteries, big monsters, and you have to try to solve it before your characters go insane or just die from being injured. It's a lot of fun. It is a longer game, so you can play it in sessions like you would D&D, but also some of them are short enough that you can do in one sitting to kind of like mix up your D&D nights, play a little horror-themed one of Cthulhu. In that kind of same vein, there are the Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective games, and these are little mysteries that you can solve. It comes with like a newspaper, the directory, and a map of London, and it starts you with a case of like Sherlock Holmes, somebody coming in that's a client, kind of saying what's going on. Their sister's disappeared or just something. And then with that, you have to try to figure out, okay, you know, this is her name. Let's try to go to her house. So you'd look up her up in the directory, go to her house or the crime scene. And as you go to all these different locations, you'll more and more of the mystery will unfurl. It's a very fun game to kind of get you into feeling like a detective. So there's a whole bunch of fun different role-playing and storytelling games where that is the main component of how the game works. So if you like D&D, there are some potential board games for you to check out. If what you like about gaming is kind of like pressure, the sense of a time limit, there are such things as real-time games where you have a limit and you've got to solve it within or to escape. There are even games that are just escape rooms in a box, like the Exit series and the Unlock series, where you can get them and then play through an escape room. The Exit series, those games are a one-time play. You get it and you will like cut up pieces and things like that, so you can't reuse the game. The Unlock series are similar, but you can replay them. You yourself can't because you'll know the answer, but the pieces aren't destroyed, so you could repackage it and give it to a friend and they could try. But those are the two main series right now of like escape rooms in a box, and they're both really fun. But there's also other games like Magic Maze, where you can't talk to your teammates as you try to complete each scenario within your time limit. So there's a funny little scenario. This one's great for families and kids, where you got to try to solve it. It plays in about 15 minutes, and it makes it a little hard because you have to do gesture and things, and you can't just speak to each other. So there's a lot of fun games that use real time limits to kind of help the gameplay. This was just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many different fun games to play and explore and enjoy. A lot of the libraries around are starting to do a lot of board game programming. Southeast has four adults, one Tuesday evening a month. You can come in and play games. Queen Creek Library has started having an in-house board game collection that you can use a game while you're visiting the library. And there are a whole bunch of different things around the district. So if you want to try out a game before you purchase it or own it, feel free to check out some of your libraries and see what they have. Games are great because you can replay them. A lot of these games you can get a lot of use out of and a lot of love out of and enjoy with your family. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Shelf Logic as we jumped into board gaming and talked about some fun games to try if you're just getting started. Thank you for joining us. My name's Tasha.
Thank you for listening to Shelf Logic. Make sure to hit subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. Follow us on social media where we are at MCLDAZ.